everything you got. Play fast, play hard. Let's beat these boys tonight in their house.
It's party time. It's party time.
Dad, here we go.
Touchdown! You are listening to the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. Now here's your host, Brand Duffy.
That's right, another week, and the Eagles are atop the NFC East at the quarter pole of the 2017 season as the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast continues. I'm Fran Duffy, and as always, I think we've got a great show for you here on episode number 113. At the top of this week's show, we've got Chalk Talk, where I chat with Greg Cosell from NFL Films to talk about the Eagles in this huge win out west against the LA Chargers. Greg and I will talk about what got the Eagles the W on both sides of the ball before previewing the test they've got this week in the Arizona Cardinals. Next up on Scouting Report, I'll break down a young player on this Arizona roster that has seen a lot of playing time due to injury this year and has had his share of ups and downs, but those flashes are really, really good, and he could be taking on a new role this Sunday. I'll reveal who that is later in the show, but before we get into all that, let's not waste any more time. I was joined by Greg Cosell earlier tonight to talk about the huge win over LA and the upcoming bout with the Cardinals. Let's get to that chat now in Chalk Talk.
Let's get down to business. It's time for Chalk Talk.
Pleased to be joined once again by NFL Films senior producer Greg Cosell. And Greg, Eagles are 3-1. We like that. Two road wins, two wins in the division.
Yeah.
And it's sitting in a good spot here at the quarter pole. It's been a really fun season to watch. There's been a lot of really positive takeaways to take away from this first four games.
What's the Giants' record, by the way?
It's one of the untold stories right now of the NFL.
And how about the Cowboys?
No, they're not doing as well as the Eagles either. But it's really
forgot that for a moment. Thanks for
right. It's one of the big stories here in Philadelphia. But I think really the thing that's very interesting to me, and Doug Peterson made a joke on Monday at his press conference. He was asked, what's the identity of your offense right now? And he said, ground and pound. Just the way, just how everyone would have thought coming into the year. But the Eagles right now, number one in time of possession, number one in runs of 15-plus, number one in terms of 10-play drives, number one. I mean, they are leading the NFL when it comes to ball control, and really it starts with the run game.
But you know what I love?
Over the last couple weeks.
What I love is the last two fourth quarters.
Yeah.
23 rushes, 168 yards.
That's awesome.
That's winning football.
Yep. Run to win.
Run to win. And the games, obviously they had to come back against the Giants in an odd kind of game, but obviously the game against
San Diego.
Yeah. The game against the Chargers, the game presented itself where they had to run to win. I think they got the ball with about 6 minutes to go, wasn't
644,
it?
644, I believe.
644, and they basically went into what we call the four-minute offense with 6:44.
Yep.
And
just explain for those that don't know the four-minute offense. Everyone knows what the two-minute offense is. You're trying to hurry up and score.
Right.
The four-minute offense.
The four-minute offense is to run the ball to eat all the clock so you don't give the ball back to the other team.
Which you don't want to do. Which you have Phillip Rivers on the other sideline.
No. And they only had a two-point lead, by the way.
Exactly.
So you certainly didn't want to do that. And they started the so-called four-minute offense, as you just said, with 6:44, and they did not give the ball back.
No, and that's really the hallmark of a good running team is that you're able to run the football when they know you're going to run the football and you can't stop it.
Correct.
And that's what they were able to do.
It's not about, although they had a long run, it's not about long runs. It's about sustaining runs.
Couple huge third and one runs
right.
on that drive. You had, to me, the offensive, I thought if you look back at New York, there were, half of those good runs you could look at and say, really good job creating by the running back. You had some good one-on-one blocks. You had some double teams. It was a good mix. In this game, I thought the offensive line got after the LA Chargers defensive front. I thought, the double teams at the point of attack, both on the backside and on the front side, I thought those guys in the inside zone run game were just excellent on Sunday.
And once again, we saw multiple run game concepts.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot of things in the run game. But just to reiterate before we move on, is in those situations, a four-yard run's a good run.
Yeah.
You just don't want to be second and nine. If you can get to second and six or second and five, those are good runs in that situation.
Ahead of the sticks.
Yep.
No, that's a great point. And really, to me, one of the big things as well that I thought was very interesting, Ben Fennell, who does great work working with here at PhiladelphiaEagles.com, made this point. We went back and charted it. The Eagles did a great job running the football out of 11 personnel.
Oh.
They averaged over 6.5 yards a carry in 11 personnel.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that because watching the game, and it hit me right when I got to the 38-yard pass to Ertz, which was mid to later third quarter, I think,
right.
Somewhere around there. It hit me when that happened. I said, boy, they've been in 11 personnel an awful lot because on that play they weren't.
Right.
They were in 12 personnel. But, yeah, they were in 11 personnel in this game a lot more than I think in the previous three games.
Yeah, and even when they went after the long run by LeGarrette Blount, the 68-yarder, which we broke down in the All-22 review.
Right.
And there were a lot of really cool elements. So if you haven't watched that segment yet, go back. It went up early Monday morning on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and the Eagles mobile app. So we covered that run, and it goes and it sets up the Wendell Smallwood 3-yard touchdown. Well, before they were able to punch it in, it felt like there were like 19 plays between the two.
Right.
But the Eagles had a bunch of shots at the end zone, and it was a lot of heavy personnel.
Yep.
You saw a lot of 12. You saw a little 13.
Which makes sense there.
Absolutely. But they weren't able to push it in.
No.
Then they spread them out. They go 11 personnel. They go right up the gut. Two great double teams from Jason Peters and I think it was Newski on the backside on that play. And then you had the front side. Brandon Brooks had another strong game along with Jason Kelce on the front side. Two great double teams helped open up a lane for Wendell Smallwood.
No, you're exactly right. But this was an 11 personnel game. And every game's different in that regard because every coach looks at a defense and says, okay, this is the best way we can attack this defense. And that's why being multidimensional offensively, both with your ability to run and pass in terms of that balance, but also within each one to be multidimensional is so critical in the NFL because you don't win the same way every single week.
Yeah, no question. No, I absolutely agree. And then you look at what they were able to do off of the run game, the RPO games, the play action element. They were so strong, and Carson was able to get into a rhythm really well in this game.
You know, it's funny. The RPO thing, no knock on you, but I sometimes get tired of hearing that only because a lot of these plays are not RPOs.
Right.
They're just shotgun play action.
Yeah, right.
You know,
sure.
but they were really effective with that.
It's tough to tell sometimes.
Yeah.
Really, the only way to really tell is, I mean, you got to get the call, but also looking at the offensive line.
Right,
trying
to
get a sense of,
right.
Are they driving off the ball? Are they not cross line scrimmage?
Right.
But yeah. But that's why you almost grouped them together. I ended up grouping them together on Monday afternoon on Twitter. Because you can't always tell.
Right. So most people just automatically assume everyone is RPO, and they're not. You know, just like every time a quarterback fakes a handoff in the shotgun, it's not read option.
Right. Sure. Exactly right. Exactly right. Well, that was – and you mentioned one thing when you first walked into the building here on Monday evening. You said, I felt really good. I thought the Eagles offense, I thought, really just got into a rhythm in this game, and you felt really strongly about the performance. Just expand on that. Explain what you saw when you watched the tape overall.
Well, you know, I always felt this way to some degree about Andy Reid's offense. As great a designer of specific concepts that he was and still is in Kansas City, and Doug obviously having, learning how to be a coach under Andy, I always felt that often the Eagles were running individual plays, and if the plays worked, you'd go, wow, that's a great play call. And if it didn't work, sometimes the offense could get a little bogged down. Watching this game, and it's probably a function, not to sound cliched, but it's probably a function of the fact that there's more balance in the offense and a lot of multiplicity in the run game. But I felt that this week, the offense had a very rhythmic feel to it. I felt like plays were building off one another. We talked about the shotgun run action and then throwing those quick slants.
Yep.
You know, they had consecutive ones to Ertz and Aguilar in the second quarter, came back later in the second quarter and hit Ertz again for 19 yards. Wasn't a true quick slant, but the concept was the same. You know, I just felt like they were building offense, that plays were working off one another. And it's always hard to explain, I think, to people, but you just watching the tape, and I know you feel the same way, you just get a rhythmic feel for what's happening. There seems to be a reason behind each play.
Yeah, and even they ran that orbit motion screen to Wendell Smallwood.
Oh, I love that play.
It's a great play, especially against that team.
We'll probably do it matchup at some point.
It was a great play.
Yeah.
But then a couple plays later, they go back to very similar backfield motion on what was going to be a three-level stretch.
Right,
to the right.
Right, right. That's
play
one,
gets blown up, and it becomes a scramble play to where Carson dumps it off to LeGarrette Blount for a 20-yard catch. But a very similar backfield action. It was almost a complimentary play that was built off of that screen that they showed a couple of plays
earlier. Part of the Smallwood play I really loved the most.
Yeah.
Because we see the split zone run look. We see the orbit motion. I see that with a lot of teams because I'm watching, a lot of tape of different teams. But what I really loved about that play was Aguilar running that over route to get the the backer and the safety. He lifts two guys away from the side of the screen, and I thought that was just brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, it's a use of, well, you call it the easy release. We saw that on the 68-yard run where Aguilar releases outside.
It's a more vertical easy release on that one.
A little bit different.
Yeah.
But it's same idea where you're blocking those second- and third-level defenders, not by actually blocking them.
With a route.
Removing them from the
picture.
Right. So it was really interesting just to watch the whole game unfold.
Yep.
Carson's performance. He was outstanding.
Outstanding.
Yesterday. It was one of his best games, I thought.
And, you know, I thought that he was locked in mentally. I thought he was locked in physically. He was very sharp throwing the football. And, again, I noticed, and I said to one of my guys in the matchup room today, I said, his delivery is much tighter.
Yeah.
You know, I know everybody made a big deal about it last year, and the Eagles tried to downplay it, but he did need a little work on it. And I feel like he's worked on it. I mean, a lot of these shorter throws now that require quick throws, which is a lot of the shotgun, you know, those quick throws off the shotgun play action.
Yeah.
You know, even the touchdown to Jeffrey, he was really tight with that delivery.
He put that right between the one and the seven.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you noticed, you know, his arm, I mean, it was tight.
Yep, no question. And then the throw that he made to Torrey Smith on third and long, not the one where he was backed up, but the one in the high red zone against cover three, where he put it between the two deep thirds defenders. You couldn't tell from the replay whether or not the ball was knocked out.
Oh, you mean you're the one that was incomplete?
Yeah, the one that was incomplete.
Where they were playing sticks coverage.
Ridiculous throw.
Ridiculous throw.
It was outstanding.
You know what I love most about the throw?
What's that?
That he made it.
Well, yeah, they pulled
because
the willingness to stick it in there.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was a huge throw.
And the play that, once I saw the tape and saw the whole concept, that I just wish Torrey caught would have been an unbelievable play breakdown.
Yeah.
What a cool way to attack cover three.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah.
And so the Eagles found, look, and everyone's worried, when are they going to connect? When are they going to connect? Yeah, yesterday it was Torrey Smith drops the ball. Earlier in the year, we see Carson underthrow or overthrow, throw it out of bounds. Those guys are going to hook up. At some point, they're going to hook up for a big play. We saw it in the preseason. We will see it again here in the regular season. It's only a matter of time before those two hook up. To me, the big part of it is that the Eagles keep going to it. They stay committed. It's almost like the run game where if you stay committed to the vertical passing game.
Well, Smith is not going to be benched, so he's going to be out there.
And it's only a matter of time before it hits, and it just keeps the defense honest in terms of, you know, at any point, they could attack vertically, and Carson showed the willingness to pull the trigger there. Defensively, what did you think overall of the defense? Obviously, some of the big plays you'd like to get cut out. We'll get to that in a bit. But overall, big picture, a tough opponent. Everyone, all the Chargers 0-3 going into this game, but a tough offense in terms of some
Rivers,
of the
and they have
weapons
on
Rivers.
No
question. So what did you think watching the D?
Good run D. I thought their D-line, given that Fletcher Cox did not play, played well.
Bowen played well.
He played well. Yes, he did.
And Justin Hamilton played really well this summer.
Yeah.
And I don't question the decision at all to keep Elijah Qualls. I love Elijah Qualls, and he had a great summer as well. But I was worried getting rid of Justin Hamilton. You knew you were going to get rid of a good player
on
the defensive line. But the ability to keep Justin Hamilton, and then you see him come up, I thought he played really well, too, as well, in his handful of snaps.
Yeah, they blitzed a little more this week, I thought. You know,
A little surprising. Yeah, they did get home a couple times. They end up being sacks, but you did see a couple guys
get free. I
thought
some of those were more man blitzes, too, as opposed to zone blitzes.
It's interesting, yep.
Yeah, didn't you see that?
I saw a couple of those.
Some of those were more man blitzes. But there were some zone blitzes thrown in. Not that it was high percentage blitz, but it was a little more than I think the previous couple of weeks when they didn't blitz very much at all. They continued to play high percentage zone.
But different kind of zone this week. A little bit more quarters.
Yeah, a lot
than
more
we've
quarters.
Seen. Yeah, which what I thought was interesting.
And what I thought was really interesting is when they played quarters to 3-by-1 sets, the corner that was to the single receiver side, they were basically asking him to play zero man.
Yeah, because
Rodney McLeod was clearly going to number three on the trip side, to the inside slot to trips.
Now, we talked last week about Keenan Allen and then lining him up to trips and watch those seam routes with him down.
Right.
Do you think that was part of it just because they knew they had to respect the 3-by-1 on that side? Why do you think they went to a little bit more quarters this week in terms of just a game plan thing? I don't know if it'll be –
Oh, it's clearly a game plan thing because he didn't do it on a whim.
Yeah, right.
You know, if you're asking me why, that's a hard question for me to answer. You know, I certainly don't study San Diego the way the Eagles do, so I can't answer this. My one guess would be that when they're in 3-by-1, that Rivers works predominantly to the trip side and not to X ISO. That would be one thing I could think of, because if he works predominantly to X ISO, my guess is the Eagles wouldn't feel real comfortable with Mills or Douglas at this point being the corner playing zero man, right, essentially.
Right. Sure.
So they probably knew that he worked primarily to the trip side.
And then you, when you look at the play of the exterior, the guys on the outside, you look at Derek Barnett. He saw a little bit more rushes from the left side. We haven't necessarily seen that as much.
He still can't quite find his way. It'll get there.
It'll get there. He had a couple near misses this week. Yeah. He was almost there.
But he still has too many where he's just shut down.
Yeah, no question.
It'll
get there.
Yeah.
Chris Long, I thought, had a couple good. Obviously, he had the sack fumble on the opening drive. They really got things going for the Eagles defense as well. And then when you go to the second level, Jordan Hicks comes back into the fold.
Yeah.
I agree with you that the run defense, I thought, was really strong in this game. They LA had to pretty much get away from the run game by mid-second quarter, I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. But I think ultimately, playing as much zone as they're playing, there are voids, and they're going to have to get that figured out if they want to keep playing. I mean, certainly with the opponent this week, because even though Arizona is not putting up touchdowns the way they're capable of, they're certainly playing an offense that can do that.
Yep.
And they're going to have to get some of those voids cleaned up. I mean, the long Allen play that set up the Hunter Henry touchdown late was kind of a dagger concept to get against quarters. Really great design, but you know, you still can't give that up.
Right.
Or if you give up the completion, you have to be in a situation where you're tackling him there.
Right.
You know, he had a lot of room to run.
Yeah, and then the Tyrell Williams touchdown. I actually thought, going back and watching the tape, you didn't really necessarily see this from the TV copy, but Jalen Mills did a really good job on the backside of that play.
That was
and almost
quarters
took
too,
it
by
away.
The way.
It was quarters, and both safeties got held up by the run action, which that's what prone to happen in quarters coverage. Jalen Mills came from the backside, almost took that throw away. He actually defended it fairly well, coming from the opposite side of the field.
The question I had on that, and I don't know the answer, that was a 3-by-1 set, but it was a two tight end set, two tight ends to the three receiver side.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
On top of my head, I can't remember.
And there was no vertical release at the snap of the ball. So I don't know how McLeod's taught, so I'm certainly not blaming him. But normally, if you're the safety to the short side of the field in quarters and there's no release on the field side, your eyes should go to one. His eyes didn't go to one. Now, again, I don't know how he's taught,
right.
So no knock. I mean, maybe he did exactly what he was taught.
Right. Yeah, it was to me, everyone's worried about the big plays. This defense is built on trying not to give up the big play.
Right.
They've given up a couple over the past couple weeks. Yeah, no question. You had the Sterling Shepard one 2 weeks
ago.
Right. Now you had these two.
Which was also zone.
Week. Yep.
And you can't. That's the killer. See, when you play zone, the whole point is not to give up that kind of run after catch.
Right. No question.
That's the whole, you know.
No question.
You're going to give up completions when you play zone.
Yeah.
But you can't give up that kind of run after catch.
Got to tackle the catch. Got to rally to the football.
Yeah.
So, Eagles, like you mentioned, have a big test this week. This Cardinals offense, I know that the numbers aren't great. They've had a lot of troubles protecting Carson Palmer. But Bruce Arians is obviously one of the best offensive minds in football. They want to be aggressive. They want to attack down the football
field.
Oh, and
he will.
And they like to attack zone coverage. I just think back, really the play that kind of is Bruce Arians to a T is the last time we went to Arizona, which I want to say was 2014. I was at the game. John Brown gets the game-winning touchdown on a deep vertical route, quarters beater, where he runs right by Kerry Williams, who thought he had safety help, but he was held up by a route on the inside. Perfect route against that coverage. Downfield throw from Carson Palmer. That's what this offense is against the Eagles coming up this week.
And being honest, Fran, I think that Bruce Arians is going to look at the corners and feel like we can attack the corners. I mean, we're just being honest here. And I think that that's the way he'll feel. And you know, Palmer is an aggressive thrower. And Palmer, I tip my hat to Carson Palmer. You watch that tape,
too.
It was
the first thing you said when we, you know, I shoot you an email with some plays we're going to cover for Eagles game plan, and you call me a few minutes later, and he said, you watch the tape. Carson Palmer, man, that toughness he showed.
Oh, my God. Because, first of all, he dropped back about almost 60 times in an overtime game where they ran, 80-plus plays, and they can't run the ball. And they block with five on a lot of deep drops, and their O-line is slow and unathletic. That's what the tape tells you. That's the reality. And he took some shots in that game. You saw them. I don't know how he got up. On that final drive in overtime, he made some big-time throws.
He did. And he's prone to do that. I mean, the throw he made in the Indianapolis game to J.J. Nelson over the top for a deep touchdown was just, I mean, you couldn't throw a better deep ball. And he's had a few of those this year.
But you also know that the Schwartz and Corey Unlin are definitely this week in the meeting room saying, hey, he's going to throw a few at us. We have to catch him.
He had a terrible pick in the red zone on the opening drive.
Yes, and he had another throw that should have been picked.
Yes. So he's thrown a couple this year. So, look, there was a great quote I was talking with Ben earlier today. And he said, you show me four guys who can rush the passer, I'll show you four guys who can cover. If the Eagles can get after Carson Palmer, I think that will do. I mean, to me, that's the biggest matchup in
right.
this game. Can the Eagles get to Carson Palmer before he can get the ball over the top? And that,
right.
to me, that's going to be the biggest play.
Because unless something dramatically changes, the Cards are not likely to run the ball for. They're not going to control the game running the football.
They're the only team in the NFL that doesn't ever run a 20-plus.
Right.
They use the running backs a lot in the pass game. You know, Ellington, I think, was targeted 14 times. A lot of checkdowns in this game. But they used those guys a lot of different ways. They flexed Ellington out to the out wide and threw him a back shoulder throw that should have almost went for a touchdown.
I remember that.
In this game. But they'll use him on Texas routes, move him into the slot. They do a lot of
They like having him offset in the backfield to the boundary.
Yeah.
And he works – very often against a linebacker, if you're playing man, or even really a linebacker if you're playing zone, because he works into that zone.
Yeah, he had a couple of those this week. He beat Sean Lee in the Dallas game on a very similar throw. We know Sean Lee, a very disruptive, instinctive player. But they love to use the running backs in the pass game. One thing that they do on third down, as well as any team in the league, is the stacks and the rubs.
Yes.
If it's third down and you see a stacked receiver anywhere in the formation – you could pretty much count on the fact that the ball's going to go there.
Right.
That's the direction the ball's going to go, and they don't care.
Well, they're really good against man. The Eagles have not been a high-percentage man team, but there's obviously downs where everybody plays man, and the Eagles will play snaps a man.
And they gave up a couple of those throws this week.
Yeah.
You know, the on the opening drive, Rivers hit Keenan Allen for a first down on a play that we've seen Arizona run 1,000
times,
where he ran right under number two on a quick
exactly,
slant.
Exactly, exactly.
That's what they run. They run that to Larry Fitzgerald all day.
Yeah.
So I'd expect to see a lot of that as well. So you're going to get
they don't
quick
throw
throws.
To the tight end a lot.
No, that's not a big part of you know. So they they have two tight ends that are listed in the starting lineup. It's Jermaine Gresham and the Troy Nicholas.
Yeah, the Notre
are
Dame
not
kid.
Big parts of the passing game.
Yeah,
a lot of different weapons there. You know, John Brown. We know how explosive he is. Jerron Brown is a crafty player. You know, I didn't watch him coming out of college, but
where'd he go again?
I want to say he went to Clemson.
Yeah, I don't remember watching him either.
I don't think he was a big time player.
He is a crafty
offense.
Player because he's not explosive, but yet sometimes he gets over the top of corners.
And he's got a savvy to him as a route runner.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
he's had a couple really nice routes and catches.
I would agree with you.
And then Larry Fitzgerald, I mean, he's Larry Fitzgerald. He's still Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, yeah.
Tyrann Mathieu, I thought, had a great tweet after the game. He said, are we able to put guys in the Hall of Fame when they're still in the league?
Right, right.
Larry Fitzgerald is just outstanding, and some of the catches he's made. Obviously, he can't run quite to the level that he has in the past, but his ball skills, his ability to go up and attack the football, he's still a very good route runner as well. And then you get to me watching them without David Johnson. It's a shame, you know, as a football fan, because it's a different offense.
Without question,
it's a different offense.
Yeah.
They're
still going to throw it.
They are going to throw it. They're going to try and attack downfield, regardless of what they look like up front. And so, like I said earlier, I think that's the biggest game within the game in this matchup.
My sense, just before we move on to their defense, is I think Schwartz is going to have to tweak a few things just to show a few different looks, because if he's going to keep playing high-percentage zone, they'll be able to attack it. Now, that doesn't mean they'll have great success, because then you have to execute the plays, but they'll be able to attack it with their route concepts.
Missing Fletcher Cox last week, I thought, was not, I don't want to say critical,
right.
after the Eagles won the game. It's a different defense when Cox isn't on the field. And some people have questioned, was he worth that money? To me, Fletcher Cox is worth that money because he can change games.
Yep.
And I think that's a game this past week against the Chargers that he could have potentially swung the Eagles' way in an earlier fashion. This week, I would say the same thing. To me, this is a game, if Fletcher Cox is in the lineup, really changes things for the Eagles.
The interior
defense.
Three of the Cards' O-line is not very good, so he would really change the game.
One of my favorite things to watch, we've had this discussion before on this podcast, is one of my favorite things to kind of watch in the league and study how teams do things. I love how different defensive coordinators attack empty. I think we might see some empty from the Cardinals this week.
Oh, for sure.
That they do. They like to go empty.
They do that every week.
Yeah, so I'll be interested to see if Jim Schwartz decides to do some different things against empty and what those things
There was
be.
A time back in the day when Jim Schwartz would attack empty with blitz. I don't know if he'll do that this
Fingers crossed.
Although
I
the Eagles
that.
Played,
I love that stuff.
The Eagles played some zero this week.
They did, a couple snaps.
Yeah, I think they played two in the field and one in the red zone, as I recall.
I think you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll be very interesting. That's one of the other games within the game we'll definitely be watching. Let's go to the other side, this Arizona defense. Missing some players over the course of the season. You know, Deion Buchanan returned from injury.
Yeah.
He saw his first action.
He'll play more this week.
Yeah, he'll play more. Hassan Reddick has been playing in his stead. But I think now the injury to Marcus Golden, who's the starting weak side linebacker in their 3-4, now is out. So I think Reddick, Kareem Martin will probably start.
Right.
But my guess will be that we'll see a lot more Hassan Reddick this week off the edge.
I would think you'd see Reddick when they go to their sub packages.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, look, he at Temple, and we both watched a lot of his games, he was an edge rusher.
Yep.
And he's an explosive edge rusher.
Yes, it absolutely is. And, you know, they've got some speed there at the second level.
Yeah.
Carlos Dansby doesn't run like he used to. And
he's
long. Got issues, but he's long and he's aggressive.
Yep.
He's instinctive. So you get his abilities moving downhill. Deion Buchanan, we know what kind of player he can be. They don't have the disruption in the front three that I think they've had in years past. I think they're missing Calais
Campbell. Yeah, oh, for sure.
In terms of what he's brought. Robert Kamdichi, I mean, kind of almost put him on a milk carton right
I
now.
I know.
Like he's
no.
a no-show, basically. Yeah. For this defense. So
they play a lot of man, so one matchup to definitely watch is Tyvon Branch is their
yes.
tight end matchup.
Yep.
He'll be on Zach Ertz, I would assume, the majority of the time when they play man.
Yep.
Every once in a while it's someone different, but predominantly it's Branch.
Yep.
And now he was a corner in college, so he's got some corner ability, but that's an interesting matchup in this game.
How do you think that they will view Alshon Jeffery
It'll
in terms of the matchup
Peterson.
With Patrick Peterson? You think he'll shadow?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we were talking about that today in the office. If we
so you
got to
go after Bethel.
Yep. So Bethel,
Justin Bethel.
Smith, and
I feel like I think every week when I watch their defense, I say Justin Bethel's going to wear the hat.
Hmm.
You know, that team, you have to go after Justin Bethel.
Right. It will be interesting because you know, if they stick in 11 personnel, which the Eagles are an 11 personnel team, Matthew, I guess he'd probably be on Nelson or Torrey, one of the two. I guess depends on where they're at
or
who's in the slot. I think that'll be very interesting to see how the Eagles do decide to attack it. Because Peterson doesn't always shadow, right? I know he shadowed Dez. I don't know that
he's a true man cover guy. There's not that many in the league.
Right.
He normally shadows who they deem to be the number one, and it's got to be Alshon on the Eagles' offense.
I think so.
Now, I don't know if he'll go in the slot, if he goes in the slot, but I think if he lines up at number one, he's going
to
go with him.
It'll be interesting to watch. And then you mentioned Tyvon Branch being their tight end guy. He's played really well as a blitzer.
Yeah.
Has done a lot of different things for them. And Antoine Bethea, I love watching Antoine Bethea play.
Yeah.
He's a good veteran safety, a really hard hitter, physical player. Really has kind of taken over that DJ Swearinger role for that defense, the role he played last year for them physically.
And I think he's probably better at it.
No question.
Yeah.
I like Bethea a lot.
Yeah.
So they've got some players at the second and third level. This will be a really interesting game, really fun game at Lincoln Financial Field.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see it because the Cards, I know they've struggled a lot, but they're one of those teams that, you know, they can – to use a baseball analogy, they can hit a 3-run home run anytime.
That's right. You got to limit them to singles and doubles.
No, it's true.
You can, no question.
Yeah.
So, Greg Cosell, appreciate the time here as always on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. We will catch you on Sunday here at the NovaCare Complex for All 22 Review.
All right. Thanks, Fran.
Great stuff from Greg, and you can follow him just like I do on Twitter at Greg Cosell. And while you're at it, I'm at FDuffy3. That's where I post all of the podcasts I'm a part of and all of our X's and O's content that we produce here at PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And you know I greatly appreciate everybody that promotes this podcast on social media. That is one way to support the show, but the other is to go into Apple Podcasts or Stitcher and give us a rating or even leave us a comment. I wanted to give a shout-out to Fred Flores, who went on to Libsyn and rated the show and even left a comment saying that he's a longtime listener, how much he loves the shows with Greg and are always informative, which is true. That's why we bring Greg on. He is the best. Born and raised in New Mexico, he's been an Eagles fan since 1999, and he's fighting those Dallas fans down there in New Mexico. So Thanks to Fred and all of you out there for your continued support of this show and all the rest of our podcast offerings on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. All right, let's keep the show going. We talked a little bit about this player with Greg. I mentioned I've been impressed with Hassan Reddick, the first-round pick for the Arizona Cardinals out of Temple. He is our subject this week in our scouting report.
Dim those lights. We're headed to the film room for the scouting report.
All right, so Hassan Reddick, first-team all-conference player last year as a senior, really kind of came out of nowhere. He was unrated by a lot of scouting services coming into the season, his senior year with the Owls here in Philadelphia, but the Camden native really made his final year count with the Owls and was just outstanding, extremely productive. He was a former walk-on that started at corner, then moved to linebacker, then to defensive line for his final 2 years, and he was a two-year starter at defensive end for Phil Snow in that 4-3 scheme. He lined up to the boundary as a six or seven technique, but he was moved all over. He stood up over the tight end at times. He lined up stacked over the ball. He lined up as a joker. He played most of the game against South Florida. I remember it was a primetime game. I want to say it was a Thursday or Friday night last year, and he played mostly as a stand-up linebacker. So I watched that game, and I thought very early on, it was probably about early November, and I thought, you know what, this guy is probably going to transition to a stand-up linebacker, and that's really the role that he's portrayed as being moving forward in his career. He is carved up. I remember seeing him at the Senior Bowl. That kid is sculpted. He's got good size for a linebacker, explosive athlete, great first step. He's a very good athlete, even for the linebacker position, not just as a defensive end, but he had an excellent performance at the combine when compared to other linebackers. He's an effortless mover that can penetrate into the backfield. He can change direction. He can close from behind. I've seen him play in coverage this year with Arizona, and you see that kid cover so much ground in a hurry. He's got the speed to close and is a really, really impressive player. He can out-leverage those perimeter runs and, again, can get into the backfield very quickly. He's had a couple of really impressive flash plays so far as a rookie. He was a really good backside run defender at defensive end. He knew when to stay home and when to pursue. When he lined up stacked, he did show the ability to defeat blocks with his hands and use a swing move to stay square, never lose sight of the ball, and make a play. Solid tackler. He would look to wrap up. Even though he did have his share of misses, I thought that he did a nice job as a tackler overall. And he did drop into coverage at times. He wasn't great at it, but he showed the ability. And again, as a former corner, he's got the mental capacity to be able to drop back as a front seven player and make plays in zone coverage. And he was manned up on tight ends at times in press coverage, and he's obviously brings so much value as a blitzer. Can win in a lot of different ways, has the bend, has the burst. He's a really impressive high-motor kid off the edge. And with the injury now to Marcus Golden, like we said with Greg earlier, I do think that we're going to see more of Hassan Reddick in those pass rush situations. There were times this year where he had to play more in coverage with the Deion Buchanan injury, and you saw him kind of struggle there. And I think that that's an area where I would want to bring him along a little bit slower. He was forced into that role a little bit earlier than I think they would have liked to see. But now I imagine with Buchanan back in the lineup, you're going to see him more in an attacking role, getting after the quarterback. And we'll see what that means this week on Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field. Obviously a guy who's making a position switch, and there are going to be plays where he doesn't look great. He looks a little bit slow reading things, and that happens at times, especially in the run game, but also deep downfield in coverage. So there are some times where he doesn't read things quickly, he doesn't key things as quickly as he should, and he's a little bit slow to react. But certainly a guy that if you watched him again in the Senior Bowl, he was always around the football. He is that kind of guy. I love his motor, his athleticism. To me, he was a bit of a project. That's why I was a little bit hesitant to take him in the top half of round one, which is where he ended up going. He ended up getting taken the pick before Derek Barnett, 13th overall by Arizona, but I thought he was too good to pass up. Dynamic athlete, again, the high motor. He can play any linebacker spot. He offers pass rush value. He can cover. If he can key the run quickly early on, I presented that he could be an early star. This is what I wrote in the spring, with Pro Bowl ceiling long term. Fan of his game. I'd bring him along slowly at first to keep him comfortable, give him rush chances. I viewed him as my number three off the ball linebacker behind only Reuben Foster and Jared Davis out of Florida. So Hassan Reddick, I think, has got the ceiling to be very, very good. He's not quite there yet, but I'm very intrigued to see him in this new role, attacking this Eagles offensive line now as a potential pass rusher in a lot of their different blitz looks. And as we talked about with Greg, they do attack you in a lot of different ways, a lot of different fronts up front. They will try and bring pressure from different angles. I'll be interested to see how Hassan Reddick is used on Sunday. All right, so great stuff from Greg Cosell and all of you out there listening, whether you're on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or iHeartRadio or TuneIn or Spotify. So many different ways to listen. Of course, as always, on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and the Eagles mobile app. Thank you. And one more time, take a few seconds. Go rate the show. Leave us a comment. It's the best way to support this show. Don't be afraid to leave a question because I would love to answer it here on the show. All that being said, I think that'll do it. Another podcast in the books here on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. For everybody here at the NovaCare Complex, I'm Fran Duffy. We will talk to you next week.